prophecy of Malachi, returning to the third chapter. Reading the closing verses of Malachi chapter 3, and then continuing into the fourth chapter to the end of that chapter. Malachi chapter 3, beginning to read at the verse 16. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. We'll end the reading there. We know that God's blessing will follow it to each of our hearts for his name's sake and for his eternal glory. Let's turn back to Malachi chapter 4, please. Malachi chapter 4. It is to the verse 2. There is a wonderful truth taught here in this verse about the person of Jesus Christ. The verse 2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." There you have in that verse 2, Jesus Christ is identified as the Son of Righteousness. The Son of Righteousness. And that really is what we want to deal with God's help, this morning. But before we do so, let us just bow in the presence of the Lord, and let us pray his presence to fill the gathering. Our Father, we thank thee that our eyes have seen the glory of God. We pray that thou wilt come in all thy risen power. Jesus Christ to us is all glorious. He is all wonderful. He is the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. He is the one that we love and seek to serve, the one that we want to adore, and whom we want to shine his face upon us. O our Father, we take now thy promised Holy Spirit to fill us to the uttermost, to give us grace, help, and strength, that every word will be held into captivity to thyself. Lord, grant us power. Power is thine. Give it to me now, I claim it. by the power of Calvary. Hear us and answer our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. The prophet Malachi is the last in a long line of the prophetical writers. And the Jews refer to him as the seal of prophecy. Now that simply means that in him the succession of prophets broke off and came to an end. It is noteworthy to observe that Malachi lived and maintained several generations. He ministered several generations after that of Haggai and Zechariah. And while the scope of the ministry of Haggai and Zechariah was to reprove Israel for their delay in building the temple of the Lord, so the scope of the ministry of Malachi was to reprove Israel for their neglect to the temple after it was built, and also he was to reprove the priests of the temple for profaning the temple service. You can read of that in Malachi chapter 1 and the verses 6 and verse 7. Now the name Malachi itself is very significant. His name means messenger, my messenger. Among all the prophetical writers, he was probably the clearest regarding the second coming of Messiah. If you look in Malachi chapter 3, in the verse 1, we're told, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." That prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus Christ came to the temple, the very temple that is here being referred to, which just at this time had lately been rebuilt by Zerubbabel and beautified by Herod. And suddenly the Nazarene, Jesus Christ the righteous, came to that temple. But there is another coming which is foretold in Malachi. Look at the verse 2 of Malachi chapter 3. "But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Here is a prophecy which is yet future. It refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And to multitudes, what a terrible day the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be. Let me ask you today in the gathering, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come today, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord if he should come? Are you saved? Are you ready? Look at verse 3 of chapter 3 of Malachi. "But he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Now this verse shows us that the day of his appearing will be a day of sifting, a day of separation, a day of scorching. And that's what we see in the chapter 4 of Malachi in the verse 1. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." a day of scorching? Does it not remind you of 2 Peter chapter 3 in the verse 10? But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. A terrible day. Sinner, it is a day that you should fear. You should be alarmed. You should be concerned. But believer, be not alarmed. Be not concerned as the sinner, because there are two sides to the coming of this great day. While on the one hand there is a dark side, on the other there is a bright side. Malachi chapter 4 in the verse 1, it describes, it depicts a dark side. But look at verse 2. Look how it begins. But the word defines, it speaks of a difference. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Here is the bright side. And while our text refers to the future, great are the present joys that emanate from a study of this verse of Scripture. And this morning, with the help of God, we want to consider the Christian has a bright and promising future. Because I believe that is what this verse teaches, that the Christian has a bright and a promising future. I want you to notice with me, firstly, the Son identified. There is but one Son in the solar system, and so there is but one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The beauty and the glory of the Son are such that we cannot but be amazed that men have made it the subject of adoration and praise. And think today of nations, of countries, of religions that worship the Son. Think of the vastness of the sun. Think of how long it has shone since the beginning of this world as we know it, created in the days of creation. Think of how it warms and blesses multitudes of people. Think of how many souls bask in the warmth of the sun. I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ by far outshines the sun in the meridian of the sky. Look at verse 2 of Malachi chapter 4. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his rays. Who is this Son of Righteousness? Turn back with me in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And here we will see it plainly in Scripture who the Son of Righteousness is. 2 Samuel chapter 23. David is speaking in the verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high. What was it he said? Look at verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. Here is a man who is filled with the Spirit of God, who is speaking with the voice of God. What does he say? His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. But what was it he said? Verse 4, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. Now David here is speaking through the Spirit about God. And what is he saying about God? He is saying that he who is David's ruler shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. Now turn over in your Bible to Psalm 84. Psalm number 84. And the verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." Now David was talking about a ruler. Someone who is as the sun ariseth. And here in Psalm 84, verse 11, we have those words, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." And so here in these verses we have the God-man identified as the Son of Righteousness. But ask yourself another question. How is he identified in our text? Because in Malachi chapter 4 and the verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise." Here, see his credentials. What are the documents proving the verity of his person? What is his title deed? His registration. The verse 2 tells us he is the Son of Righteousness. Now pause there. Just stop for one moment and think about that statement. The Son of Righteousness. Every single one of us in this gathering this morning who has been washed by the Spirit of God, purged with the blood of Jesus Christ, every single one of us have been made righteous. We weren't righteous in the beginning. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. In sin did our mothers conceive us. We were sinners in God's sight. We were made righteous. But notice how Jesus is identified, and it can only be Jesus, in Malachi 4 and the verse 2. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness." We were made righteous, but he is righteousness. He is righteousness. Turn back in your Bible to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. I'll give you a moment to turn to that place. Tremendous verses are found here in this portion. Jeremiah chapter 23. Notice with me the verse 5 and the verse 6. "Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch," a righteous branch, "and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." This king is the Son of Righteousness. But read on. Verse 6, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called." What is his name? The Lord our righteousness. That word in this original context is Jehovah Tsidkenu. We often sing that hymn, "Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness." We'll be singing at the end of the service if God gives us time and help. That's who he is. The Lord our righteousness. And moreover, the verse 6 says that Israel shall dwell safely. Christ will order peace on earth when he comes the second time. And praise God, the king is coming with 10,000s of his angels. And all the saints of God shall be happy. Child of God, our future is bright. The king is coming. He's coming again to bring his precious jewels home to be with him in glory. He's coming. Jesus Christ for us has been clearly identified as the Son of Righteousness. He has shone forth as a brilliant light and soon will shine more brilliantly. He is the Son identified. But then secondly, I want you to see the Son exemplified. Exemplified. How is the Son illustrated for us in this text? What is Christ Jesus said to be doing? Well, let's look at the verse 2 of Malachi chapter 4. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. He will arise. And this we know is an action of the sun that shines in the heavens. The sun rises in the east and slowly ascends until it reaches the meridian of the sky before setting in the west. Earthly hands cannot stop the rising of the sun. Earthly hands cannot suppress it. Despite all the efforts of man, the sun will rise. And similarly, despite all the efforts of man, the collective combined efforts of demons and devils and political powers and the principalities that work in high places, nothing and no one will stop the second coming of Jesus Christ. There is a day appointed when he said he will return. And when the sands of time sink, Jesus Christ will come again. He will arise. He will return. But what is the purpose? What is the objective of Christ rising from the shadows and the darkness of the night? Is the answer not to set forth the brilliance and the effulgence of his power for the glory of God and the Father in the face of Jesus Christ? Notice here in the verse 2 of Malachi chapter 4, he is said to arise with healing. With healing. Now, why does the Spirit of God place that in Scripture? He is said to arise with healing. I put it to you, it's because of the wounds and the bruises and the putrefying sores. I put it to you, it is because of the hurt. God's people are hurting. Maybe you in God's service today have been hurt. You've been hurt in the past. Someone has said something to you and they have hurt you. They have acted in a way against you and they have hurt you. You've been hurt by the world. You've been attacked by the devil. You've been hurt time and time again, whether you're 7 or 70. You can look back in your life and you can recall and you can recount times when you were pained, when you felt agony, when you were hurt. Well, my friend, The Bible tells me in Psalm 34, in the verse 19, that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Moreover, in Luke chapter 17, in the verse 1, Jesus Christ said, in the verse 2, that offenses will come. Unfortunately, we have to expect that in this life. But may I say to you today that Jesus Christ one day will come with healing in his wings. And as I look at that window, my friend, I see that Jesus Christ is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. And he is coming to heal the hurt of the daughters of his children, to pour in the healing balm of Gilead. Oh, a Savior is coming. He's a mighty Savior. And he is going to heal the hurt of the daughter of his children. But read again in the verse 2 of Malachi chapter 4. He is coming with healing in his wings. He will arise with healing in his wings. Now, here we see how it's performed, how it's exemplified for us. In the metaphorical language of the sun, everyone surely knows the blessing bestowed upon mankind when the sun shines his smiling face. Today, as we entered into the house of God, there was the clouds, there was the rain, it was falling. It's depressing by nature. But you know what it's like on a sunny day when you meet someone in the street and you talk with them. The warmth of the sun, it seems to dispel the agony of life's experience. And it doesn't matter what pressures or afflictions are upon us, because the sun arises with healing in its rays. Have you ever traveled the road and you see the clouds are breaking and the sun rays begin to shine? I don't know about you, but it warms and it gladdens my heart. But here we read that he will rise with healing in his wings. With healing in his wings. And when I think about my God, I think of Malachi 23 in the verse 37, where Jesus says to Jerusalem, "Would to God I would have gathered thee as a hen would her chicks beneath her wings, and ye would not." At a time we had hens. And just to experience it, we let the hen roost on some of the eggs, and chicks were hatched. What excitement there was when I called the children out to come to see the little chicks as they just break through the cluster of feathers beneath the wings of the mother hen. So wonderful, maternal, adoring picture. How many times have you as a parent brought your children beneath your arms, as you draw them close? It's a warm, affectionate picture. You know, as I think upon and about my God, I think of him as the angel of the covenant. And as we think of an angel, we think of an angel with wings. And I think of my God, that there's coming a day when he will come, because he's promised it. And he will gather his people beneath his wings. What a glorious picture. What a glorious scene.
Here we see him exemplified. What a wonderful picture of my Savior. Tell me, is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? Are you saved? Are you saved? Sadly, if you're not, you will be put out and removed and separated. But finally, let us come to think of the Son glorified. The Son of Righteousness, as we have seen, has been identified for us in this portion as the person of Christ, the Son of God. We have discovered how he is exemplified unto us in Scripture as one that arises with healing in his wings. But the question now comes, how is the Son of Righteousness glorified? How is he glorified? At the outset, you must give diligence to the precise nature of those whom you declared to be recipients of the rising sun. Come back to our text, to the verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, unto you that fear my name, speaking to the child of God, as speaking to believers, those that fear the name of God. You know, the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it speaks of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Have you a fear of God in your heart? How is he, the Son of God, glorified in his saints? I believe that it is seen in two ways. Firstly, from our text, in growth that is vigorous. It says in the verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth. Now mark that. That implies separation. You who are set at liberty, you who are free from the bondage and the yoke of the flesh, shall go forth having been set free. You will go to that mansion that is prepared for you in the glory. You shall go forth. There is a scene here of separation. Your shackles have gone. You're free from the bondage of sin. But not only will you go forth, you will grow up. That to me suggests sanctification. And few truly understand the doctrine of sanctification. You know, daily we are sanctified as we come to the water of God's word and wash. Sanctification is a process. And those who have been set gloriously free shall grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, growing more and more toward the perfect man. Tell me today, are you growing in grace? Child of God, it shouldn't have to be asked, but tell me, do you read your Bible? We teach our children the chorus, read your Bible and pray every day if you want to grow. It's a great truth. Growth which is vigorous, but also growth which is victorious. You will grow up as calves of the stall. Now that speaks to me of strength.
It's not that the perfect man will grow as the flower of the field for beauty. The flower is easily cut down. It's easily squashed. It's easily trampled upon. But rather, the imagery here is the calves that would frolic around leaping for joy. This is a farming community. I'm sure farmers here, I'm sure you've often opened the gates of the beef shed and you've let the livestock out. What a wonderful sight it is, whether it's a heifer or a bullock or the bull or the calves. And you will see them as they run over the concrete and over the grass. Why, their feet are kicking the very stars, as it were. They're frolicking. There is joy. And my friend, here the imagery is, and maybe God is wanting us to have this imagery. Not so much that we're a herd of cattle, but that we would be with the strength of cattle. Because when you think of a stampede of cattle, and you think of the enemy, even the devil, there is coming a day when the Bible says we will trample Satan under our feet shortly. That's a day to look forward to. A day when we as God's children will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Mighty. A mighty people. Oh, to be strong in the Lord, treading down the wicked. We see that in the verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Right now it seems as though the devil has the victory. Maybe you as a Christian, maybe you think that. We wonder what will happen in the case of the Asher's Bakery. In other cases, with policy makers and political powers and principalities in high places, we wonder what is in future, what is in store for the people of God. A child of God, be not concerned. Be not alarmed. Because there is a bright and a glorious future for the people of God. My friend, maybe you've entered this building this morning disturbed, anxious, distressed, and you're looking for a word from God to encourage you. I believe this word should encourage you. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The King is coming. He's coming again. Oh, glorious day. Dear child of God, look forward to it with anticipation and expectation. But dear sinner, if you're not saved, I say to you, be ready. Be ready. May God bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake.